Hi, I'm David Kies, and I run R for the Rest of Us. You may think of R as a tool for complex statistical analysis, but it's much more than that. From data visualization to efficient reporting to improving your workflow, R can do it all. On this podcast, I talk with people about how they use R in unique and creative ways. I'm joined today by Will Landau. Will is a statistician and software developer in the life sciences. He earned his PhD in statistics at Iowa State in 2016, and he specializes in Bayesian methods, high-performance computing, and reproducible workflows. Will is the creator of the Targets R package, a reproducible analysis pipeline tool, which became part of R OpenSci in early 2021. Will, welcome, and thanks for joining.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start out just by asking some kind of basic questions. I'm curious kind of how you first got into R.
Well, I got into R because at the time, it was pretty much right in front of me. I was an undergrad in my third or fourth year of college, and I was just discovering how much I loved to code, and I was just getting into statistics. And that kind of gradually started to intersect when our homework assignments used R, and there was a mix of reactions. I mean, people come to statistics, I'm sure you know, from all kinds of backgrounds. And people come from economics, computer science, even a lot of other different backgrounds. Some people really love to code, and some people struggle with it a bit. I think that for me, it hit me right at the right time. And I loved it. I loved how the computational problems intersected with the statistical ones. And I wanted to carry that as a focus through, you know, whatever I did after that. And in grad school at Iowa State, I got really lucky. There was just such a strong R community. There was a lot of people doing really cool things in visualization and package development. And professors Dai Cook and Heike Hoffman were there. To give you an idea, they were the mentors of Hadley when he was at Iowa State. And they kept that community going, and the grad students around me kept that community going. There was just a lot of collegiality, a lot of excitement around the stuff that we were doing in R. It was, there were just a lot of positive vibes and interesting projects. And I couldn't really help but grow to like it every year that I used it. And, you know, now at work, it's I'm among colleagues who use R all the time. We're basically an R shop, and what I do falls under, you know, classical experimental design a lot of the times. So it's still a good fit for the job.
And I know you work, I should have mentioned this before, you work at Eli Lilly, and for obvious reasons, we can't talk about, you know, the details of what you do. So I wonder if you could give me kind of an overview. I mean, you talked briefly about, you know, some of the in broad strokes, the work that you do there, but I wonder if you could also talk about kind of the daily work that you do with R as well, especially on the kind of the open source side and what that looks like.
Sure. Well, there's two sides that I quite like with the open source work that I do. And one is statistical, and not all of the models that I, you know, develop or contribute to are available as open source packages, but some are. And there's this great collaboration that I'm part of. There's this ASA group called OpenStatsware, and we have a work stream to implement a Bayesian MMRM. And we're developing this package. We're pooling all kinds of knowledge from across our companies. And I've taken the lead on the implementation of this package. It's called BRMS MMRM. It's very much a group effort. And that's a model that comes up a lot in my line of work. It's this repeated measures model of experimental data. And it's non-competitive. It's used by so many of us that we just want to get a solid implementation that we all agree on. And that's been extremely rewarding. And with that package, we've we have a CRAN release or two, and we have done a lot of the interface work, and we're going to move on to the deeper statistical pieces of you know, borrowing from historical data sources and stuff pretty soon. And the other side of that is the infrastructure and the workflow tools that I work on, like Targets, which we'll get into. These are tools just to make your life easier and just to manage the analyses and the analysis workflows that go into either developing a model like that or running really any kind of data analysis project. And so, I mean, there are things that I do that a lot of people may not be able to relate to, and like to be upfront about that, but we all face a common set of workflow problems, no matter what we're using to analyze our data, whether it's a Bayesian model or a machine learning method, or just some data transformation and ETL.
Yeah. And I'll say, I mean, you know, speaking for myself, hearing you talk about like the Bayesian work that you do, that's not something that I am even familiar with. I wouldn't even know where to start with that. But, you know, I know, as I was mentioning to you before we started, Targets as a package is something I've heard about and has intrigued me, but is not something that I've ever had the opportunity, or I guess I've chosen not to take the opportunity to use it. So I'm curious if you could kind of, at a very high level, give me an overview of what Targets is and talk about where the idea for it originally came from.
Great. So Targets is what I'd call a reproducible analysis pipeline tool. And so you have, in a typical project, some data sets that you want to analyze, and you'll produce model objects for the fitted models, and then you'll summarize those models or maybe you're not doing modeling. Maybe you start from the data sets and you want to run some visualizations to explore the data, to see what a scatter plot of one variable looks like against another. And maybe you want to summarize those results in a bunch of downstream reports in R Markdown or Quarto. There are these depths of flow in a data analysis project. And if we think of a data analysis as a project, that's when it becomes big enough in that sense. That's where Targets comes in, and that's where it starts to help. And hopefully when we get into an example, we can start to think about, well, what kinds of projects Targets is originally intended for. But the idea came when I needed a package like that to do my dissertation work in grad school. That's the first time I started to want a tool like Targets. I was developing this large Bayesian model for this agronomy problem. And on top of all the writing and all of the model development, I needed to run this model on some pretty big data sets as far as genomics was concerned. And each time that I started to run the model, I had to wait 3 or 4 hours for it to complete. And I had a bunch of those analyses. And then meanwhile, I had these other moving parts, like the dissertation that I was writing, that depended on those results. And it was all a lot to keep track of. And the runtime of these models blocked me from updating one part of the project, and I had to focus on another. It was just very hard to wrap my head around it all and to go about my day putting together something that ended up being a dissertation. And my advisor, Jared Nemi, watched me struggle through all this the whole time. And he mentioned to me that I should be using a tool called Make to organize and wrap my head around this stuff. I was a bit too far into the project to transition to a thing like that at the time. But then when that was all wrapped up and I defended, then I immediately went to start saying, okay, how do I make this easier for other grad students like me? And how do I make this easier for my future self? And how do I make this easier for anybody who's developing any kind of project, whether it's like a dissertation, or whether it's something even a a little bit more lightweight or something that maybe has less of a runtime burden, but just has hundreds of artifacts that you want to produce, it, like in an ETL workflow. And that's when I started searching for existing tools. There's this developer, scientist, statistician by the name of Rich Fitzjohn, who had developed something that was almost what I was looking for. It was a package called Remake that he had developed between 2014 and 2016. And that package is like the Make tool, except designed completely for R. And the concepts that he introduced there just completely blew my mind. The way that he took something that was, it's usually language agnostic, and made it completely focused on R and extremely friendly. And the reason that I originally got into developing pipeline toolkits was he had moved on to other things, that he was no longer at a certain point interested in developing Remake. And so at that point, I created a project called Drake, which was kind of like Remake, but initially it attempted to pursue a greater degree of scale in a couple of ways. And that was when I was really first getting my start as an R package developer. And that was a journey. I learned an absolute ton from it. But Drake got to the point where I was faced with the hard limitations of my original design choices. And so up to a certain point, it became time to take the lessons that I learned to developing Drake and to start something completely new. And then that became Targets, which I started to develop in 2020. And I was secretly working on it on nights and weekends for about 6 months. And then I open sourced it and released it to R OpenSci. And the rest, as they say, is recent history.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, David here. Just wanted to let you know that if you want to get an email whenever there's a new podcast episode and get a wide range of tips and tricks in R, you can get all of that by signing up for the R for the Rest of Us newsletter. Sign up now at rfortherestofus.com/newsletter. So from my kind of naive understanding, so I think about, for example, the types of projects that we do, which don't actually involve any modeling, but typically what it involves is taking some raw data. We usually have an R script file where we take the raw data, do cleaning, transformation on it. Then we typically save that usually as an RDS file. And then we do a lot of reporting. So a lot of parameterized reporting, that type of thing. So then our Markdown or Quarto files read in that kind of cleaned, you know, RDS file and use that for the reporting. And we've developed this a structure, like, you know, we basically follow the structure that our packages use, where we'll put our raw data in a folder called data-raw, and then our clean data goes just in the data folder. But what it sounds like you're saying is essentially Targets is kind of a formalization of some of the processes that we have kind of informally put together, where, for example, we don't, you know, maybe it takes a while to run the code to clean your data. And, you know, the way we deal with that is we run it once and save it as an RDS file. But with Targets, you could set it up so that it kind of always knows, how have we run the most, you know, the code, the kind of cleaning transformation code, is that up to date? And then if that code changes, it'll kind of like rerun it, right? And so it helps to, again, I guess it's really like formalizing that process of making sure that everything, it both speeds up your kind of runtime, but then also make sure that everything is up to date. Are those, am I accurately understanding the kind of
that's a great description
at a high level?
And I like your use of the word transformation in particular, because this is where we start to think about a project-oriented workflow like the one that you described with working with data and generating reports as a series of transformations. You're transforming those data sets into reports, or maybe you're transforming those data sets into human readable summaries and then transforming those human readable summaries into those reports. It's this mapping that's a really useful aspect of this whole process to think about and to be pedantic about. And to think about which one of those transformations, what is exactly going on in each one of those transformations, and what are the set of inputs that you need, and what is the one output that this transformation produces in each case. And I think that's kind of how Targets makes this whole process a bit more pedantic. And then the process of skipping a step that's already up to date and then only running it if the upstream code or dependencies changed. For somebody who's running these extreme kinds of Bayesian or machine learning models, it's a really critical time save. And it's the kind of problem that you don't know you're going to have until you're faced with a kind of analysis that takes forever to run that you might have to stop in the middle. But there's something for everyone in that it's, even if you're just churning away at a couple of data sets and producing some reports. I mean, you might have a couple of those, or you might have a few hundred data sets and a few hundred reports. And to be able to see right in front of you that everything is up to date is vouching for the reproducibility of the project in the most from first principles sense that I can really think of it. It's saying that if you were to reproduce or recreate this analysis from scratch, here are the results that you get, and here's evidence that is synchronized. And that's a kind of reproducibility that was missing, I think, for a long time. And it complements the kind of reproducibility that you find in being able to describe in your own words exactly what's going on, let's say, inside an R markdown or a Quarto report for the analysis.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you know, I have a bunch of questions about targets, but I actually think what would be most useful at this point is to have you give us a brief demo, and then I can ask those questions. So I'll let you, if you just want to put your screen up.
Certainly.
And then we can watch that. Hey, David here. Just wanted to let you know that at this point in the conversation, we switched to a screencast. Now, obviously, showing code doesn't work very well in an audio podcast. So if you want to see the rest of this conversation, check out the video version of this podcast on YouTube. You can find a link to that in the show notes. So I'm curious, in your mind, how complex does a project need to be to benefit from using targets?
That's a hard question, because there really isn't a hard and fast rule, and it can depend on personal preference. But I would say anything even a little bit complicated, or even a pipeline with four or five steps, or even three or four computationally intense steps, is worth doing in targets. Once you experience the time savings and I didn't even get to the features in targets that abstract away files as R objects. You mentioned that it's common to manually save the output data as an RDS file and then read it back later. In targets, there are more convenient functions to access data in that cache or that data store, and that in itself is a convenience that's hard to move away from, even for really small workflows. Once you've experienced it, and projects can also be complex in a bunch of different ways. So sometimes the computation time is a burden. Sometimes you just have a lot of data objects to output and a lot of downstream tasks that read in those data objects, and targets can smooth things out in either one of those cases.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, for the work that we do, it'd probably be less on the kind of runtime issues. It's not that it's going to take a huge amount of time, although there are some cases where that happens, but It's more about making sure everything is up to date. You know, for example, like we create some reports and then the client says, oh yeah, here's some new data. Well, the way we do it right now, we have to make sure manually that someone goes in and reruns the data cleaning and importing code, transformation code, so that it spits out that new RDS file so that when we generate the reports again, it's using the up-to-date data. It seems like, you know, using targets would make it so that every time we run tar make, it will just check, okay, is the data up to, you know, is everything up to date, so that when it, before it generates the, those reports, it just automatically runs that code. So I can definitely see the benefit of it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you don't realize how much mental bookkeeping you're doing just to remember the state of the project. It's much easier to have a tool automatically tell you. And it's hard to move away from that once you've experienced it.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Because a lot of times what we have to do too is then we have to explain to the client how everything works. Because they, in some cases, will actually take over the project and then, you know, run it themselves. And it's only when we're actually sitting down and going through, okay, first you do this, then you do that. You know, we'll have like a really long README sometimes. And it seems like in some ways Targets is a really long README in code, in a way that you know, can facilitate people continuing to run the code in a way that is efficient and hopefully makes more sense to them than the long READMEs that we give them.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I've seen users of Targets insert dependency graph visualizations in their READMEs. So there's this JavaScript library called mermaid.js that produces really nice static graphs. And there's this tar mermaid function in Targets to produce one of those visualizations of the dependency graph, but in a static format. And it's possible to embed that into an R markdown document and share that. And with the description field of each target that TJ Marr and Noam Ross nudged me to implement in Targets, I think that could be even more powerful for communicating how the pipeline is set up for somebody else, either who's, you know, just consuming the results or sharing in the development.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I have a couple last questions for you. First, I've heard people describe Targets as kind of the equivalent of the efficiency, switching to Targets as the efficiency gains that you get if you switch from an R script-based workflow to using something like R Markdown or Quarto. I'm curious if that comparison resonates with you.
It does. And I remember when I discovered that I could use R Markdown to do homework assignments in grad school. And I just remember how much nicer it was than having an R script over here and maybe some comments on the code, and then my description in my own words in prose in another place to you know, show the other parts of my work and my thought process. And to have those woven together in a lot of situations was just really nice. And it solved a problem that I didn't know I had until the problem was actually solved. Hmm. And Targets, I think, is similar. Not everybody is immediately faced with these crushingly long runtimes. And so maybe the friction is just enough to fly under the radar, but it's still a problem that you may not know you have until it's actually solved. And although those are different problems, they're hidden in similar ways.
Yeah, that makes sense. Great. Well, one last question. I'm curious what changes you kind of anticipate making to Targets in the future. I know you talked about adding the description field. Are there other things you're thinking about as you move forward with Targets?
So in general, most of Targets, I think, is in a really good spot. I think that there will always be bug fixes and little features and just general maintenance to do. And that's just part of every actively maintained package. And I'm in it for the long haul. Over the past year, I've focused most of the development on trying to make Targets a viable cloud computing pipeline tool. And that's that kind of work has been really important to me and my colleagues. That's kind of where the project is at the moment.
Great. Well, Will, thank you very much. This has been really useful. It's given me a lot to think about. It's inspired me to think about potentially trying out targets. So thank you again for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
That's it for today's episode. I hope you learned something new about how you can use R. Do you know anyone else who might be interested in this episode? Please share it with them. If you're interested in learning R, check out R for the Rest of Us. We've got courses to help you no matter whether you're just starting out with R or you've got years of experience. Do you work for an organization that needs help communicating effectively with data? Check out our consulting services at rfortherestofus.com/consulting. We work with clients to make high-quality data visualization, beautiful reports made entirely with R, interactive maps, and much, much more. And before we go, one last request. Do you know anyone who's using R in a unique and creative way? We're always looking for new guests for the R for the Rest of Us podcast. If you know someone who would be a good guest, please email me at david@rfortherestofus.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.